Welcome to Shi'an Ramban, Parshas Miketz. Again, just because Miketz typically falls out during Chanukah, and we don't have a lot of time for this year, so we'll try to maximize the little bit amount of time that we have between now and Ma'ariv, and take a look at what I think is a fairly well-known Ramban, and if it wasn't fairly well-known before tonight, hopefully by the end of tonight, it will be even more well-known, certainly to us. So the Shvatim, the brothers, come down to Egypt after the famine grips Eretz Yisrael and the rest of the world. And Egypt is the only place that's selling any kind of grain. So the Pasuk says, Perek Mem Beis, Pasuk Ches, Vayaker Yosef es Echav. Yosef recognized his brothers, Vehem lo hikiruhu. They didn't recognize him. Now the Pasuk goes on to say, Vayizkar Yosef, Eis hachalomos asher cholam lohem. Yosef then remembered the dreams which he had dreamt about them. And immediately he says to the brothers, you're spies. The only reason you're here is to try to figure out how vulnerable the land is, to try to find our weak points, and to ultimately bring down the entire Egyptian empire. So the Ramban first quotes Rashi. Rashi is dealing with the obvious question. Okay, so Yosef recognizes his brothers. Okay, that's important for the storyline. And he says to them, it seems to me that you're a bunch of spies, also important for the storyline. What does Yosef's recollection of the dreams have to do with the storyline? That phrase seems just kind of abruptly inserted into the middle of the story. So Rashi writes that what it means to say is as follows, V'yoda sheniskaimu. At that point, Yosef knew that the dreams had been fulfilled, because the brothers at that point had bowed down before Yosef HaTzadik. So says Rashi. Truth is, says the Ramban, if you were to ask me, it's actually the opposite. He saw that the dreams had not been fulfilled. What the Pasuk means to imply by saying that Yosef remembered the dreams is as follows. Yosef saw his brothers bowing down before him, and when he saw that, Zohar kol hachalomos asher cholam lohem. He remembered, it wasn't just one dream that he had dreamt regarding the brothers. He remembered all of the dreams that he had dreamt. V'yada shalonis kayim echad mehem ba'pa'am hazos. And he realized that it was, so to speak, close but no cigar, that the dreams had been partially fulfilled, but there wasn't a single dream that had been totally fulfilled at this point in time. Why? Ki yodea b'pistronam, ki kol echov yishtachav ulo b'tchilo min hachalom harishon. He had two dreams at the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev. One showed the 11 sheaves of grain bowing down before his sheaf, which implied that all of the rest of the brothers would come and bow down to him. The implication of that dream is that all 11 brothers would be bowing down to him. And the second dream that he had in the beginning of last week's parasha, not only would there be 11 stars representing the 11 brothers bowing down to him, but the sun and the moon, again representing something else, right? Something else besides the 11 brothers, would be bowing down before him. V'kivon shalorah binyamin imahem chashav zo satachbulo sheyalil aleyem kadesh yoviu gam binyamin achiv elav l'kayim hachalom harishon tchila. So says the Ramban, when Yosef saw the brothers bowing down before him, he said, that's nice, but that's not the dream. It's 10/11 of the first dream. Binyamin's not here. So Yosef said, we have to figure out how to get Binyamin down to Egypt. Why? For one purpose and one purpose alone. At the very, very least, the first dream has to be fulfilled. So in other words, whereas Rashi says, Yosef looks at the situation and says, oh, the dreams are fulfilled. Says the Ramban, no, the opposite is true. He looks at the situation and he says, oh, the dreams are not fulfilled. We have to do whatever we can to fulfill the dreams. Yeah, but I don't know if that works. The mixas kakulo. I think it's better as close but no cigar. Al kain lo rafsa lahagid lohem ani Yosef achichem. And this desire to fulfill the dreams, says the Ramban, is what underscores so many of Yosef's actions at this point, which on the surface seem either bizarre or vindictive. And since we don't want to believe about Yosef HaTzadik that he's either acting in a way that's bizarre or vindictive, so says the Ramban, we have to explain as follows. Why doesn't Yosef just say, hey, you know, you may not remember me, but I happen to, you know, funny thing, I happen to be your brother Yosef. Who would have thought? Fancy meeting you here. Why do you just say that? Why all this drama? Why are we doing all of this? V'leimar, why shouldn't he say to them, Maharuva aluav elovi, just, you know, go up quickly to my father. Why didn't, you know, all the things we're going to read about in next week's parsha in Vayigash, when Yosef reveals himself and says, go back to my father, tell him I'm still alive, you know, bring him down here. Why didn't he do all of that right from the get-go? So explains the Ramban, it's all the dreams. What do you think? If Yosef were to send back his brothers and say, do me a favor, bring down Yaakov Avinu, you know, to Mitzrayim because I want to see him. You don't think Yaakov Avinu would have come in a heartbeat, you know, to come and see Yosef, his beloved son? So why didn't he do that? Acharish niskayim achalom harishon, he gid lohem, l'kayim achalom hashem. Because the way the dreams were presented to Yosef, there were two dreams, and apparently there were two episodes. First, the 11 brothers had to bow down to him without their father, and then the father had to come separately and bow down to him at that point. V'lulei kein, hoyo Yosef chote chet godo. If we don't understand Yosef's actions in this way, says the Ramban, then we'd be forced to say that Yosef is actually guilty of a terrible sin. In other words, the only explanation to explain how he acted is out of this desire to bring the chalomos, to bring the dreams to fruition. Because otherwise, what he does is really terrible. Okay, so that's what we're going to try to address in the time that we have. Okay, good, so you have dreams. You know, they're very nice. Right? But otherwise, he'd be guilty of a terrible sin, says the Ramban. Let's of it, to torture his father? Will amido yamim rabim b'shikul ve'evel ha-shimon ve'alov? He holds Shimon back in prison. Yaakov thinks, for all I know, Shimon is dead. You know, he tortures him regarding Binyamin. He tortures him regarding himself. These are terrible things. I mean, forget about what you want to do to the brothers. But what are you doing to your father with all of this? Even if he wanted to shake up his brothers, to torture his brothers a little bit, which again, it's not clear that that's acceptable either, but at least it's understandable. How could he not have any compassion on his elderly father? Everything he did was justified and in the right time in order to bring the dreams to fruition. Because Yosef knew that the dreams would be fulfilled, and he also apparently knew, and this we'll have to flesh out a little bit, that he had to be proactive in bringing those dreams to fruition. And that explains many things that Yosef does over here in this whole parasha. Even what he does at the end of the sedra with the goblet, where he hides the goblet in Binyamin's sack and the whole story, he wasn't trying to torture the brothers. Aval chashad ulai yesh lohem sino b'Binyamin, sheyakanu oso be'avas aviyam kikinosam bo. Maybe they would display the same kind of hatred and jealousy towards Binyamin that they had displayed towards him. Oshema hirgish Binyamin, shahaya yadam b'Yosef enoldo b'neihem ketato v'sino. Or maybe, it's interesting, Binyamin was the only full brother of Yosef, another son of Rachel. So maybe Binyamin had realized that the brothers had done something terrible to Yosef, and Binyamin harbored a grudge against his brothers. Alkeilo Rasa Sheilechi Moim Binyamin Ula Yishluchu Bo Yadam Adbarko Asamba Avoso. So, because out of a concern for Binyamin, says the Ramban, Yosef didn't want to send back Binyamin with the brothers all the way to Eretz Yisrael, because he was afraid that the bad blood which might have existed between Binyamin and the other brothers might have led to Binyamin getting hurt. So the whole story with the goblet was a way of testing, are the brothers really ready to stand up for Binyamin? If they're ready to stand up for Binyamin, presumably they won't hurt him on the way back to Eretz Yisrael. Indeed, all of these issues that seem so bizarre on the surface were all Yosef's attempt to bring the dreams to fruition. Because one can ask the following question. Once Yosef had already been in Egypt for many days, and he already was elevated to a high-ranking position in an officer's house in Egypt. In other words, before he was thrown into prison, when he was in the house of Potiphar, he was already considered to be a somebody. He was already somebody who had been elevated to a position of rank. How hard would it have been to send a letter back home to his father in Eretz Yisrael, just to let him know, by the way, I made it, wish you were here, postcard with the pyramids, you know, something. He couldn't have sent some kind of communication to his father. What's that? Yeah, send cash, right, you know, having a good time, me and the Sphinx, we hang out together, you wouldn't believe, right? So he couldn't have sent some kind of letter to his father to let him know all those years, you know, that I'm in Mitzrayim, I'm fine, everything, you don't have to worry. There's only a 6-day walk between Hebron and the border of Egypt. And to be honest, even if it would have taken a year to walk back to Eretz Yisrael, it would have been the right thing to do in order to honor his father, to let him know that he was still alive. Yaakov loved Yosef so much. You don't think he would have paid all the money in the world to ransom him back from Mitzrayim? You don't think he would have figured out a way to get him back from Mitzrayim even before Yosef became the second in command in Mitzrayim, when he was still in the house of Potiphar? You don't think he could have somehow let his father know? However, Yosef from the get-go knew that there had to be some kind of scenario in which the brothers and the father would bow down to him. He knew that that could never take place in Eretz Yisrael, and he knew that therefore there has to be some divine plan to bring down Yaakov and the brothers to Mitzrayim, because that's the only place where this dream can be fulfilled. And Yosef said, I don't know necessarily that this will happen in Egypt, but I hope that given the fact that I seem to be going up and up the ranks in Egypt, that somehow HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring about events in such a way that the fulfillment of the dreams will take place here in Egypt. And certainly, after he interpreted Paro's dream and realized, putting two and two together, that ultimately Mitzrayim would be the economic center of the world, and the brothers and Yaakov Avinu would come down to Mitzrayim, all of this was anticipating that the dreams would come true, to make the dreams come true.
Was the fulfillment of the dream more important than...
Okay. All right. So let's talk about this issue. We have 5 minutes. Let's try to wrap this up in the 5 minutes that we have. So it's a well-known Ramban. Again, like I said, if you didn't know it before, you know it now. But it's a perplexing Ramban. So, okay, so Yosef wants the dreams to come true. First of all, just because you have a dream, who tells you that you have to proactively look to make it come true? I have a dream, it's a predictor of what's going to be. Okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make it come true. So why do I have to do anything? That's number one. Number two, and if I have a dream that forces me to put all of the people I'm close to in tremendous psychological agony, so I'm supposed to do that? I don't understand. I mean, you know, who says that the dream is such a powerful thing that it overpowers everything else in the entire Torah? So in other words, ordinarily, as the Ramban himself says, what Yosef did under normal circumstances would be a tremendous aveira. The only way we can justify it is because, you know, you have to make the dreams come true. Why is that a justification? Because you have a dream, you know, that somehow makes things happen? So let's suggest the following. Clearly, these are not regular dreams, and clearly, this is not a prescriptive for anybody here in the room to say I had a dream, and therefore I'm going to do things which, in another context, would be against Torah. Right? This statement of the Ramban that Yosef wanted the dreams to come true is unique to Yosef's dreams and cannot be extrapolated for other circumstances with other dreams. Yosef understood that the dreams essentially were a nevuah, they were essentially a form of prophecy, and just as we find with regard to nevuah, that there's a concept of kovesh nevuasa, that if a Navi gets a prophecy, and he says, you know, I'm not really in the mood. I don't really feel like sharing this nevuah with other people. So that's a terrible, terrible aver. It's a chi of misan. It's a capital punishment for the Navi to hold back and to withhold the nevuah which he was given. Apparently Yosef understood that these dreams uniquely were a nevuah, and that the charge of these dreams was to take steps to carry out the dreams. Now, where did he get that idea from? So although the Ramban doesn't say it, I think this Ramban is of one piece with the famous idea that the Ramban develops, which we've seen going back to Parshas Lech Lecha, the idea which is often referred to as Maisa Avos Siman Labanim. The Ramban never uses that terminology, but throughout Sefer Breishis, the Ramban tells us that whatever happened to the Avos is laying the groundwork for future Jewish history. If Avraham Avinu goes down to Mitzrayim, it means the Jews later are going to go down to Mitzrayim. If Avraham Avinu comes into Eretz Yisrael, and the first place that he stops off is in Shechem, it means that the conquest of Eretz Yisrael is going to begin from Shechem. And why was Yosef so, okay, I had a dream, my father, my brothers are going to bow down to me. So, okay, good, well, you know, why is that so important to bring to fruition? Because Yosef understood that in the future of the Jewish people, Yosef's descendants would play a special role. Chazal tell us that it's only the descendants of Yosef that ultimately have the ability to conquer Esav and his descendants. And because of that, Yosef knew that he had to be elevated to an extreme position. He had to be recognized as such by his father and the brothers in order to give him that special quality. In order to pass that quality on to his future generations, there would have to be some kind of fulfillment of the dreams during Yosef's lifetime. So in other words, this is not a normal situation where a person says, you know, I had a dream, so therefore I have an obligation to make the dream to come true. Because they thought, if you look in the Ramban at the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev, they didn't think that this was a dream which was a nevuah. They thought, ah, you had too much for dinner. That's why you had these crazy dreams. Or, you know, this is all delusions in your mind. Yosef understood that the dreams were nevuahs. And if the nevuahs, you know, again, what is the big milah of Yaakov and the brothers bowing down to Yosef HaTzadik? The answer is because Yosef knows that bowing down is symbolic of the power that Yosef is going to have to be able to conquer Esav. And Yosef needs that symbolic representation of that power to come true in Yosef's lifetime in order to guarantee that Klal Yisrael is going to have that power later on. If you look back, again, very, very briefly, if you look back in the Ramban and Parshas Lech Lecha, the Ramban develops the idea, why is it so important that we have Maisa Avos Siman Labanim, that whatever happens to the Avos is going to happen to their later children, says the Ramban, when there's a symbolic action which takes place in the lives of the Avos, it makes it much, much more likely, it guarantees that it's going to happen to the future generations of Klal Yisrael. Yosef had no interest, he had no self-interest in his father and his brothers bowing down to him. He didn't need the ego boost. What Yosef needed was to lay the groundwork for the power that Yosef and his descendants would have in the later generations, which would be accomplished by this bowing down. That's what I think the Ramban means, that it was so vitally important to be Mekayim, to fulfill these chalomos, these dreams, to the point where things that in other contexts would be considered to be a tremendous avera were permissible under the circumstances because of this overarching need. Ezra Hashem will pick up next week, and we'll see everybody, and we wish everyone a Freilich and Chanukah.